couple of people have said this morning, are we going to get some oldies today? Well, you got one. But different people compliment these old songs, and I like that, and they fit right in with me, but sometimes I don't even know which one are the oldies. I pick out some of the ones that I've been close to over the years, and somebody said, where'd you get that new song? Well, they just haven't been around so long, that's all. Do you hear the coming brother trudging up the steeps of mine, clad in glory, shining garments, whitewashed garments pure and white? It's the glorious church without spot or wrinkle, washed in the blood of the Lamb. It's the glorious church without spot or wrinkle.
Yeah.
comes to mind, we shall know as we are known. People waiting for us, we shall know as we are known. He is waiting for us, and we shall know as we are known.
There's a blessed time that's coming soon.
Will you?
We shall see the King. We shall see the King. We shall see the King when He comes. He's coming in power. We'll hail the blessed hour. We shall see the King when He comes. Are you ready? Shall the Savior call today? Would Jesus say, well done?
When He comes,
He's coming in power.
We'll have the blessed hour.
We shall see the King when He comes. My brother, are you ready for the call? Crown your Savior, King, and Lord of all. The kingdoms of this world shall soon before Him fall. We shall see.
We shall see the King.
We shall see the King. We shall see the King when He comes. He's coming in power. We'll hail the blessed hour. We shall see the King.
What's wrong?
We shall see the King.
Oh, glory, let us tell about the story. We shall see the King when He comes.
Coming in power, oh, hail the blessed hour. We shall see the King when He comes.
At moments
like these, I sing out a song. I sing out a love song to Jesus.
I
The book I read. Jeremiah chapter 18 and verse 6 is our text this morning. Title of the message, In the Hands of the Potter. In the Hands of the Potter. Jeremiah chapter 18 and verse 6. O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in mine hand, O house of Israel. Father, we ask your blessing upon your word today. May we be able to take the truth of the potter and apply it to our lives, Lord, for we know that you are the potter and we are the clay. For we ask it in Jesus' name, amen. There, anybody ever made any pottery? Any potters here? Okay, a few of you. Good. Years ago. As I was preparing for the message, I found that there are five steps in making a piece of pottery. And those are the steps that I want to go through with you today, because the steps in making pottery are similar to the steps that we go through in the Christian life, as God is the potter and we are clay in his hands. The first step in making a piece of pottery, of course, is finding the clay. First of all, you have to find a piece of clay that you can work with, finding the clay. The potter must find the clay, and he walks along riverbanks and creeks. And when he finds a deposit of clay along the rivers or the creeks, he has to go in and he has to dig it out, which is a very messy job. So God, in our lost condition, went and searched us out, and he found us. And he reached down in that messy job and pulled us out of the muck and mire of sin and brought us to salvation. The psalmist said in Psalm 40 and verse 2, He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. I want you to understand today that salvation begins with God. Salvation was God's idea. The glorious plan of redemption was God's plan from the very beginning. Jesus came to seek and to save those who were lost. Salvation is God's idea, it's not man's idea. We can't even take the credit for that. While we were yet sinners, the Bible said, Christ died for us. All the initiative that was needed to start the salvation process began and continues with God. I'm so glad that he sought me, and that he found me in the muck and mire of sin and pulled me out. Aren't you glad that he did that? Aren't you glad that he went searching for you? And he found you. And despite your sin, he loved you. And he pulled you out of that situation and he brought you to the rock, the Lord Jesus Christ. Salvation is God's idea. It's a great truth. We need to thank him for his initiative in establishing our salvation. Then after the potter finds the clay, he has to knead the clay. Kneading is the second step in making a piece of pottery. The clay is kneaded to soften its consistency and also to work out any impurities that would damage the usefulness of that piece of pottery. God works in our lives to soften our hearts and to remove any sin which would damage our usefulness for him. The thing that we need to do, and it's not always easy to do, is to yield to him. To yield to his working and dealings in our lives. When we yield to his hand, our heart remains soft and we are pliable. He is able to shape us and to bend us and to mold us after his will. But when we resist his dealings, our heart becomes hard. Whenever you resist the dealing of God, something that he is trying to do to shape you or to mold you or to make you, when you resist those dealings, your heart becomes hard. A piece of clay which has been left out to dry is unusable by the potter. If that piece dries and it becomes hard, it's unusable to the potter unless he first of all takes that clay and he grinds it with a millstone and then mixes it with water. You know, there are some people like that. Their hearts have become so hard that God has to grind them. He has to grind their hearts. He has to soften their hearts in order to get their attention and do what he wants to do with their lives. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't want to harden my heart so that God has to grind me to powder before he can use me. I would rather yield to his hand and say, Lord, here I am. I'm a willing vessel. Make of me what you want to make. I'd like you to turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, beginning with verse 20. Second Timothy chapter 2, verses 20 through 22. It says, but in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Verse 21 tells us that if we purge ourselves of certain things, we will be vessels of honor. 1 Thessalonians 4:4 says, every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. We should know how to keep this vessel, to keep these bodies sanctified, holy, set apart for God, sanctified and honorable to him. Every one of us should know how to do that, the scripture says. So what are the things that we are to purge ourselves of? We'll back up a couple verses there in 2 Timothy chapter 2, if you would, and begin with verse 16. Second Timothy chapter 2, beginning with verse 16. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more, what? Ungodliness. We want to become godlike, right? Sanctified, holy, meet for the master's use. But profane and vain babblings increase unto more ungodliness. And their word doth eat as a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. And then it says, but in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and earth, and some of honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these things that he talked about, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. What are those things that we are to purge ourselves from? First of all, profane and vain babblings. What is that? That is fruitless discussion that does not honor God. It's discussion, it's conversation that is just fruitless, that is not God honoring God in some way. The word profane comes from a Greek word that means to cross the threshold. What it's saying is, don't even cross the threshold into entering into a conversation that is not God glorifying and uplifting. Don't even go there. Don't even go there with your conversation. Shun it. Do away with it. Don't even enter the door that leads to fruitless discussion that doesn't honor God. The second thing that we are to purge ourselves from is error, especially concerning the resurrection, and especially those things that would destroy the faith of others. Do away with those things. Those things that would cause other people to fall away from the faith or to stumble. Just do away with those errors. And then the third thing was iniquity. Iniquity is asserting my will over the will of God, even though my works might be good or evil. Regardless of whether or not my works be good or evil, don't push my will over the will of the potter, over the will of God. Ezekiel 36, 26 and 27, a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them. So the first step in the making of a piece of pottery was to find the clay. The second step is to knead the clay. And we can even help the Lord, the process along here by purging ourselves and sanctifying ourselves of certain things, vain and profane babblings, error, especially error regarding the resurrection and iniquity. The third step in forming the piece of pottery is forming the vessel. Forming the vessel. The clay is then placed on a potter's wheel, and it is formed, it's shaped according to the desire of the potter. The definition of a vessel is this: a hollow utensil for holding things. That's it. But I think it'll become important as we go on today, this simple definition of a vessel: a hollow utensil for holding things. Now, every one of you is a vessel. You realize that today? Every one of you is a vessel. And like Paul, you are a chosen vessel. You are special in God's sight. And God loves you, and God has a purpose for you. You as a vessel, God has a purpose for you. Your purpose is not just to sit on a shelf somewhere. Your purpose is to be filled with something and then poured out by God to others. You are a chosen vessel of God. You are special in His sight. The most important part of this step of forming the vessel is to make sure that the clay runs true or in balance from the beginning. You know, I've seen people who get some kind of bad doctrine, or they get out of balance in the beginning of their Christian life, and it's very, very difficult then to try to get them in balance later on. It's so important that you be established at the outset by the truths of God's Word, the proper balance. Heresy is just simply truth that has been taken out of balance, taken to an extreme. God wants you on His potter's wheel because He will shape you, He will form you, but He wants to keep you balanced with truth. The thing I noticed here that was outstanding to me was that the potter always has his hands on the clay. The whole time the piece of clay is on the potter's wheel, the potter never takes his hands off the clay. It's always on the clay. It's always feeling the shape. It's always molding. It's always there doing something, being useful to that piece of clay. Do you know what? God's hands are always on you. Even when you're on the wheel sometimes and you're spinning, you're going around and around and around and around, and you wonder if it's ever going to stop. God's hands are still on you. At that time, He is still there. He has not left you. He has not left you on the potter's wheel and walked off somewhere. His hands are still on you. He's still at the wheel, and He's forming you, and He's shaping you after His will, after His desire. And just as the potter uses the wheel, he uses water and he uses various tools to aid him in turning the clay into a useful vessel, God also has some tools that He uses to make us into a useful vessel. God uses the tool of the Holy Spirit. God uses the tool of His Word. God uses the tool of His church. God uses people and circumstances in our lives to mold us into vessels which are useful in His service. Always, always the goal is to conform us into the image of His Son, Jesus Christ. Isaiah 64:8 says, "But now, O Lord, Thou art our Father. We are the clay, and Thou our potter, and we are all the work of Thine hand." Romans 8:28-29, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, He did also predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. God uses events. God uses the events in our life. God uses the circumstances in our lives as a tool to conform us to the image of His Son, Jesus Christ. Hebrews 10:25 says, "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." The tool there is the church. God uses the church to shape us, to mold us into the vessel that He wants us to be. We cannot forsake the assembling of ourselves together. We talked about a couple of weeks ago about how iron sharpens iron. We need each other. The church was established because we need each other. We need the church to sharpen us and to mold us and to shape us into a useful vessel. 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We all know that the Bible is a tool that God uses to shape us into useful vessels, making us more like Jesus Christ. So the third step in the making of a piece of pottery was, anybody remember what was the third step? Forming. The fourth step is glazing the vessel. Glazing the vessel. After a piece of pottery is completely dried, it is glazed. Glazing the vessel seals it, it protects it, and it strengthens it. At the time of salvation, the Holy Spirit comes to dwell in our earthly vessel, to work in us the will of the Father, and to empower us for His service. It's an eternal work. Scripture says it's a sealed work, sealed until the day of redemption. Zechariah chapter 4 and verse 6. Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might nor by power, but by what? You know what that? By my spirit, right. By my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. The work that is within you is, first of all, a work of the Holy Spirit. God's Spirit touching our spirit. God's Spirit changing us, doing a work on us from the inside out. It's not by our might. It's not by our power. We cannot shape ourselves into the image that God wants us to be shaped into. It's a work of the Spirit, a work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is referred to in Scripture as the hand or the finger of God. As God is behind you and as you are on the pottery wheel, the Holy Spirit, His hand, His finger is upon you at all times, shaping you, forming you. Romans 8, verses 9 through 11, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of His. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. According to this verse, it is an eternally empowered work. It's not just a work of the Spirit, it's an eternal work. The work that the Holy Spirit is doing you is a work that will last for all of eternity. Not just some temporary thing He's doing you, He's doing an eternal work, something that will eternally change you and shape you for all of eternity. Holy Spirit has the power to do that as we yield. He only has the power as we yield, but as we yield, He has the power to be able to do an eternal work in you. And then Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. It's a sealed work that He is doing. Don't grieve Him. Don't quench Him. Let Him do it. And the fifth and last step in making a piece of pottery is firing the vessel. Firing the vessel. The firing process. The piece is placed inside a kiln where it is put under intense heat. This process hardens the vessel, bringing it into maturity and usefulness. A piece that is not fired can easily be crushed in the hands, cannot even hold water. Now, the potter does not put the piece in the kiln and go away. He monitors the heat. He monitors the time that the pottery is in the kiln, in the heat, so that it is not overheated and broken. We must all go through fiery trials and tribulations. We all go through the heat. But the heat is there to mature us in our faith. We are going through the fire. Our strength and usefulness, if we don't do this, will be severely limited. We all have to go through the fire. We must, through much tribulation, enter the kingdom of heaven. We must remember that God is always with us and He will never put on us more than we can bear, but we will go through the fire. He doesn't just turn up the heat and leaves us. He knows exactly how much firing we need. He knows exactly how much heat we need. I thought it was interesting to discover that there were different kinds of clay that required different degrees of heating and how long they stayed in the heat. Some delicate pieces, such as china, can only withstand just a little bit of heat and only for a short time. It can only be in the fire for such a short time. In the same way, there are china Christians. There are Christians that look pretty sitting on the shelf, but they aren't very useful to God because they cannot stand much in the way of opposition. They cannot stand much persecution. They cannot stand much trial. They cannot stand much tribulation. They cannot stand much heat. And so although they look pretty, if you were to place them in the middle of the situation where they could be used, they would just break and crumble apart. I want to ask you today, what kind of Christian are you? Are you one that is useful for God? Are you one that is out there being used by God and by people? Or are you one that just sits on a shelf because if somebody were to take you down, you might break? Sometimes it's our own unwillingness for God to put us in the fire and strengthen us that keeps us from being very useful to God. God knows that we are unwilling, and some even tell God, I am unwilling to go through the fire. I am unwilling to go through the firing process. And sometimes it's our own unwillingness that hinders God from using us, from being very useful for God. I keep thinking about the Prayer of Jabez. I haven't forgot about that book, have you? I keep thinking about that book, and for those who pray the Prayer of Jabez and desire for God to expand their borders and to use them greatly, and how often they are sent right into the kiln for firing. How often they are taken right into the furnace so that they can become more hard. They can become stronger and more useful for the Lord. Listen to these verses. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 12 and 13. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when His glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. Romans 5, 3 through 5. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have, for He has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. The potter will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He will never give up on you. He will not take you and say, ah, this piece of pottery, I'm just going to throw it away. It's not going to be good for anything. It's useless to me. God will never do that. He will never, ever do that. He will never discard you. He will always look at you with love. He will always look at you with acceptance. He will always look at you as the way you can be. He sees what you can become, and He will never give up until He accomplishes what He wants to accomplish in your life. He will not give up until you are conformed into the image of Jesus Christ. He that began a good work in you will not stop it. He will complete it. He will perform it. He will bring it to maturity. He will never give up on you, so don't you ever give up on yourself. God's not through with any of us yet. His hand is still on you. And the wheel might still be going, but He's still there. And He'll never leave you nor forsake you. Let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Someday you will be able to look back on your life and say, you know, I'm sure glad I didn't quit. I'm sure glad I didn't get off the potter's wheel, but I let God have His way. One final thought. Once the potter has completed a piece of pottery, the vessel can do nothing on its own. It cannot fill itself with water. It cannot pour itself out. The potter is in total control over which piece of pottery to pull off the shelf and use, and over how he will use that piece of pottery. All you need to do is be available. God will pick you off the shelf and use you when he wants to use you. And he will use you in the way he wants to use you. You need to be yielded to the will of the potter. It is the potter who fills a vessel with water and then pours it out for others to drink. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10 says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." Remember our definition of a piece of pottery? An empty vessel used for holding things. According to the scriptures, there are a few things that you as a vessel, God wants you to hold for him. Let me share with you very quickly today what those things are. First of all, the vessels in the scriptures were used for holding oil. In Matthew chapter 25 and verse 4, it says, "But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps." Oil, of course, is symbolic of the Holy Spirit. A vessel is used by God as a container for his Holy Spirit. God wants to put his Holy Spirit in you, in your vessel. There is to be no room for the flesh. That is supposed to be emptied out, hollowed out. No reserving the right to make the final decision for myself. No, you're full of the Holy Spirit. Full of the Holy Spirit. Holding oil speaks to us of the anointing. Holding oil speaks to us of the anointing. The second thing that vessels held were incense. Holding incense. Numbers 16 and verse 17, "And take every man his censer or his vessel and put incense in them and bring ye before the Lord every man his censer or his vessel, 250 censers, thou also and Aaron, each of you his censer." Now, incense is symbolic of prayers. Revelation chapter 8, verses 3 and 4. "And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer. And there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense which came up with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hand." And so a vessel is used by God as a container for prayer. Your life is to be filled with prayer. My life is to be filled with prayer. We are to be vessels. We are to be men and women of God and men and women of prayer. Holding prayer. And holding prayer speaks to us of worship. Number three, holding manna. Exodus 16:33, "And Moses said unto Aaron, take a pot, take a vessel, and put an omer full of manna therein, and lay it upon before the Lord to be kept for your generations." Manna is symbolic of the Bible. You need to have the Bible in you. You are to be a container for God's word, that the scripture could pour out of you to others as it's needed. Jesus was the true bread. He was the true manna that came down of heaven. He said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." A vessel is used by God as a container for his word. Holding the word speaks to us of devotion. Number four, holding blood. Holding blood. Exodus 12:22, "And ye shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and strike the lintel in two side posts with the blood that is in the basin, and none of you shall go out the door of his house until the morning." The basin, the vessel. The blood was here symbolic of the saving blood of Jesus Christ, the true Passover lamb. So a vessel is used by God as a container for his lifeblood. In fact, if you don't have that blood in your vessel flowing through you, you are not saved. Holding the blood speaks to us of our salvation. And the fifth thing the vessels was used for was holding the treasure. Holding the treasure. 2 Corinthians 4, 6 through 7, "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us." Probably the best thing that a vessel can hold is this thing right here. A vessel is used by God as a container for Jesus Christ.
you have Jesus Christ living in you. You are a holding place for the Lord Jesus Christ. We have that treasure of Christ in these earthen bodies, these earthen vessels. Holding the treasure speaks to us of the hope of glory. Christ in us, Paul said, who is the hope of glory. Are you containing those things this morning? Are you a holding place for the Holy Spirit? Are you a holding place for God's Word? Are you a holding place for Jesus Christ Himself? Are you a vessel emptied of yourself, filled with these things the Lord would desire us to be filled with? Could I have your heads bowed and your eyes closed this morning? Maybe you're here today and you are not a saved person. By that I mean you've never asked Jesus Christ to be your Savior. All of us have sinned. There is none that does righteousness, no, not one. Jesus came to seek and to save you. And today, if you're not saved, the potter is looking for you. As he's going up and down these aisles searching for a piece of clay today, he's first of all looking for you. He wants to bring you up out of the horrible pit. He wants to take you out of the miry clay and set you on a rock. And from this day forward, establish your goings. Would you yield to the potter? Would you allow him to pick you up into his loving hands and bring you to a place of salvation? Jesus, he shed his blood. He died for you that you might live. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Is there anybody here by an uplifted hand you would say, Pastor, would you pray for me? I'm going to allow the potter to pick me up today and to save me, to save my soul. Anybody here today? Where are you in this process of making a piece of pottery? Maybe you're in the kneading process. Your heart's been hard. God hasn't been able to do with you what he wants to do because of your hardness, your stubbornness. You have not yielded to the kneading of the potter. Is that you today? Would you just right now say, Lord, I yield. Maybe you're here today and you're in the process of being formed. And I think that these situations reoccur throughout our lives. But maybe you're in the process of being formed and you're on the wheel and you're going round. Your world is kind of topsy-turvy. And God has brought out the tools of circumstances or the tools of the church or this message or something you've read in the Bible, and you're just being shaped, you're being formed. Or maybe you're here today and you're being glazed. You sit back and you realize that the work that is going on is the work of the Holy Spirit. You can't explain it, it's just the work of the Spirit. Or maybe you're here today and you're being fired, you're being put through the fire. I just want to encourage you, God will not turn up the heat more than is necessary. He will not keep you in the fire longer than is necessary. And if you see yourself in one of these steps today, I wonder if you would just raise your hand and say, Lord, I yield. I yield in this step. Amen. Father, you see the hands that have gone up this morning. Oh, Lord, we want to yield to you as clay in the hand of the potter. And we pray, Lord, that you would have your way in each of us. Give us grace to get through these steps. Lord, that the end result, that we would be a vessel meet for the Master's use. That we would be a vessel of honor. That we would hold your Spirit. We would hold prayer. We would hold your Word. We would hold the treasure of Jesus Christ, the hope of glory. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Have thine. Christ only, always living in me. Praise the Lord. George Lewis, would you dismiss us in prayer, please?
Lord, have thine own way. Have thine own way with us, Lord. And do hold absolute sway over each one of us, Father. That when the finished work is there, that the world would see only you in each one of us, Father. Lord, draw our hearts to you. Father, create in us a willingness to be on the potter's table. Do your work in each one of us. Do your work until it's complete. Father, watch over us this week. Keep your hand upon us, Father. Keep your hand on each one. Be with us now as we leave this place. Lead us through the week. Amen.